It's podcast time. I'm your host, Elizabeth Salazar, bringing you the 208th podcast of The Brain Game. Let's dig in. Hey, welcome back. I hope you're doing well. I'm just texting with my 20-year-old daughter, and I don't know, maybe you need to hear this, right? Last episode, I was warning you about miracles, miracles you don't want in relation to babies. This episode, let me encourage you that, so my oldest, she's almost 21, and she lived with me until she was 13, and then she went and lived with her dad, and then she came back for the last year, and right, there's like pluses and minuses of that. Like, he, I think, shaped her a little bit more in those formative years, which I'm not a fan of, obviously. That's why I'm not, was not with him ever, beyond, you know, making a baby at 17. So some of the things I think are like, oh, he really shaped her on that. But also, like, I wasn't the same person when she lived with me. So I didn't become this person until after she moved out and all the transformations. So right now I spend a lot of time like infusing these things that I know and these skills over to her and definitely brainwashing her as much as I can, right? Like, that's our objective as parents. How do I help them think in a way that's going to help them be successful and get what they want? And so it's been really fun to see, because I see it working. I see me helping her to identify. Like, I studied communication in school. I loved that. That was why I studied in college. It wasn't because I knew how I was going to make money with it. I had no idea. But I help her to see those things. Like, oh, look at these, like, what's happening here, and pulling in feelings with communication patterns. And so it's kind of cool. And I just wanted to encourage you that as you're going through this work and you've transformed yourself, maybe you've already raised children, or maybe you have teenagers now, and you think to yourself, I don't know if this is like rubbing off on them at all. And the answer is yes, it does rub off of them. And I see such clear ways. I actually had offered her one thought before, and she still comes back and says, you know, when you helped me to think like that, that is actually, that changed everything I did in that area. And so what you're doing with your own family and with your kids, it is also rubbing off, even if they don't give you that full circle confirmation. So I wanted to just let you know. So today's episode, we're going to talk about posting pricing or not. Yeah, let's switch back over. Business mode. Business. So good. I was outside walking because I'm working on getting in 10,000 steps a day. It's actually not 10,000 every day. It's whatever my Aura app says I should do. That's what I decided is my goal. I am not going to use my brain and worry about it. I'm going to let whatever it tells me, however many steps I should get in. That's my goal. So I was out there walking and I had this idea for this episode. I was thinking about a client that I'm working with, and we were talking about her pricing. And it's very common that a coach will say, they'll just have thoughts about their price and posting it or not posting it. But what's interesting is what their belief is that fuels the posting or not posting. And so before we go too far into this, I have another episode on this. So whether you hate this episode or love it, you can hear more. That's right. If you hated it, why would you want more? That's not the point. You'll want more. Episode 162. It's from November of 2022. And I did another episode on to post or not to post. And it is definitely different from this episode, although it's still me and it's still how I think. And I think in that episode, I just more neutrally tell you the pros and cons of each so that you can just hear it, right? Because what happens is our own brain has a way of thinking about it. And we just, I don't know, it's like our brain forgets other ways even exist. And that is the power of coaching. That is the beauty of having other people around you, of listening to podcasts, of getting coached, is to bring your brain and say, okay, how can I think about this differently? Or how do you think about this? Not necessarily because you're going to take every piece of it, but because you just want access to a different way of thinking. So that episode, I very neutrally kind of break down both options, to price, to post the price or not to post the price. And I don't try and sway you either way. In this episode, I think I have an opinion, and it doesn't really matter that I have the opinion, but I think this episode is going to be really helpful for you because we're going to get into your ideal client's perspective and how posting or not posting actually invokes them to take action or not. And I was like, what? This is good. That's why when I was walking, I'm like jotting down notes. I'm like, no, I got to hurry up and go record this. So I was working with this client and she had posted her price. She has it up on her website. They can book a call. She tells them what the details are, how much it is. And one of the things that came up was she was just kind of re-questioning it. She isn't getting as many consults as she wants to be getting. And so we were kind of talking about it. And what came up was, is that she has the thought that the price for her coaching package is just such a reasonable, like excellent price that when someone sees it, they will see that price and think, oh my gosh, that's like so reasonable. I want to work with her. And when I heard her say that, I'd kind of been thinking about it because that's part of the work I do, is that after calls with my clients, I'm still thinking, how do I help a client solve a problem like this? How do I help them solve it differently? Whether I think I did it well in that moment or not, it's just this like, how do I do better at this? How do I help them more efficiently? And so we uncovered that she was believing, oh, well, they're just like, they're going to see this price and they're going to go crazy. And what we then began to like reveal, I know it sounds very magical, but you know, it's just normal stuff. But then what started to come out was this realization that because she thought her coaching package price, and because it was visible, and because she believed that it was such a great deal, and that they would think that too, that then flowed into her, it affected how she talked about working with her. And so it's almost like it put this tilt on it where she wasn't as vocal about it. She wasn't as forward. She wasn't thinking, oh my gosh, I want to come up with all the ways that I can tell them how I can help them and how I can get them even to that page. And so that's what I really wanted to bring to your guys' attention today. It's that whether you list your price or you don't list your price, you as the coach, as the business owner, have some belief about what your person will think when they see that price. And, you know, just check that. How do you feel when you think about that? Do you, like, maybe it's the feeling, but maybe it's the thought. Like, hers was a really, like, oh no, I think that that's a steal and I think they're going to want that. You want to see what you're thinking about it. It isn't that what you're thinking is good or bad, right or wrong. We have to break that sense around business. Instead, right, even reasonable. I think that's sometimes the worst thing because we could tell another person and they'd be like, yeah, no, that sounds really reasonable what you're thinking about that. Or yeah, that sounds right. But that isn't how we measure a thought. And whether we should keep it or not, and whether we should let it run and like run that piece of our business. Here's how we filter it. We filter it by, does this get me the results I want or not? Thinking this thought. And when we look at this thought that my client has or had, which was, oh yeah, this price is a steal. What we fast forward and discovered is when we like looked around in all the ways that thought was affecting her business. And she wasn't out there talking about and loving her package. And like, she just wasn't like, I think this is a really simple thing right here. She wasn't loving her package. She wasn't that love for what she sells, because it's not really the package, right? It's your love for coaching. It's your love for the problems your people have and how you can help them in a way that is so unique and so needed and that they want. And so when you're thinking that the price is just going to carry the weight of selling, you stop, right? And it's just accidental. Our brain just like, you just look up and you're like, whoops. So it's not anything that's gone wrong. You're just like, oh my gosh, I thought the price was so good that I stopped telling them I stopped loving my offer and how coaching is so valuable and what I can help them with. And I, because I wasn't loving it, that means you weren't like overflowing, right? You picture that cup and you're pouring the water in, and the overflow of your love for your offer is reflected then in how you show up to help your people, how you help them, how you tell them about how you can help them more, all the ways you communicate it, right? That's how we do it having fun, is that like if you want to sell your offer and be miserable, don't fill the cup. Don't love your offer and the impact of it. But if you want to have fun, love your offer so much that it just like overflows from you. And that's going to be what makes selling and talking about what you do fun and feel good and feel like it's coming from this sense of flow. So I mapped this out because, you know, I like to have some notes for this podcast. I'm like, well, I'm going to definitely talk, but like, let's rein it in a little. Here's me reining it in a little. So here's what I did. I like this idea of what is the person, like when they come to your website and they see your price, what thought are they going to have? And does them having that thought cause them to take more or less action in line with actually booking the call to work with me, right? So remember, the way we measure a thought is, does it create a result we want? So when we're saying, if I'm going to help create a thought for them to think, because marketing is always doing this. Oh my gosh, side tangent, but still very relevant. I started playing Candy Crush again, which I used to play, and then I realized I played it too much, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is like a problem. So I stopped playing it. I deleted it from my phone. I mean, this was probably 10 years ago. My oldest still remembers. She's like harassing me about it. So I started playing again, and they have these ads, and in the ads, they are purposely invoking people to think a thought. So, you know, I'm like telling my 7 and 9 year old are watching me play. And so I'm like, don't look at the ad. They're trying to make you think thoughts. So my two kids are like, oh, I like watching the ads. And I'm like, oh gosh. But these ads are invoking you to think a thought. So what they're doing is they want you to like download some game, and they have statements like, this is harder than you think. And when every time I see that, I think to myself, they want someone to think the thought, oh, this isn't that hard. I can do this. Because what's going to happen when someone thinks that thought? They are going to download that game and they're going to begin playing it, right? So that app developer, marketer, whatever, right? All those things together, they thought to themselves, how do we get more people to download our app? We have to get them to think a thought that then gets them to take action of downloading the app. And so they're doing that contrarian. I'm gonna like activate them to think, oh, I can do this. This isn't even hard. And then they're gonna go do it. They have the same things with other ads, but they kind of switch angles, right? Like they're testing it out. And one of them, I saw it, they were targeting it towards older people, which I thought was really hilarious because it was still a young face. They just like put gray hair on it. And I was like, okay, that's silly. And they had something about, they made some statement about how playing this game was really like relaxing on their eyes. And I thought, what? So it's like they're just trying to like lure you in from any angle, right? Because then that person is going to think, oh, this is good for me. Right? And this is definitely not good for us. And it's definitely not good for our eyes. My gosh. But all they're trying to do is to get you to think a thought to take action. So now let's pull this back around. Man, this is why I really trust myself, because I'm like, I nailed it on that example. Man, that's so relevant. And my brain just pulls them up and I'm like, oh, thank you, brain. You're good. So let's pull it back to your pricing. So let's imagine your website, your page talking about coaching with you is the page that you want to create someone thinking a thought. You want to be intentional with what thought will they think when they see this. And we're guessing, right? So if there's some part of you that's like, well, I don't know, obviously, right? That part of you that says, I don't know, we're just like, right? We're getting flexible. We're getting fluid with, like, of course we don't know, and we're just practicing guessing, right? You can't see me, but when I'm getting fluid and getting flexible with myself about this, I move my shoulders, like, just if I wanted to physically get more flexible and fluid. But it's the same thing with using our minds. We want to kind of step out, break, right? So if the rigidness is us, like, staying perfectly still, it's the same thing with our brain. We're like, no, how do I get fluid? I'm just going to move a little. So here's what I just made up, right? You can do the same exercise, or you can be like, oh, Elizabeth did it. So here's what I came. It's like, if you not having your price prompts people to think a thought, right? So if you don't, I'm sorry. It's the other direction. Let's start with if you have your price. If you have your price listed, you are prompting them to think a thought. Now, I actually do recommend you to do this exercise yourself, because what you may discover is that you think that they will think a completely different thought. And that's important for you to see, for you to push your own brain. So I hope you don't just rely on mine, but I mean, mine's pretty good too. So for the sake of this exercise, you totally can. So you have your price listed. You're thinking to yourself, you know what? My price is prompting a thought. And this is, let me give this next caveat before I actually share. This is for selling one-on-one coaching. I think when you're selling a group, unless you're going to do a one-on-one call for everybody, you need to have your price listed. If you're selling a membership, if you're selling a, you know, digital course, like, you're going to have your price listed for all of those things. The only thing that this episode is in question to, man, now I'm questioning I didn't say this so many more minutes ago. Oh, well, is one-on-one coaching. And one-on-one coaching that you sell with a call, because if you just want them to purchase it and pay, then you're going to need to obviously have your price. But if you say, how do they purchase one-on-one coaching from me? They book a call. I make sure it's a good fit. Like, I think sometimes people miss this part, but the point of a call is for them to make sure that they like you and they want to do the work with you and that you understand their issue and that they feel activated towards the future they're creating in such a way that trading the money is worth it. Feel free to rewind that and listen to that again. But on your end as the coach, you are also, I know you want clients, right? There's this balance where in the early stages, maybe you don't have as many one-on-one clients. And then in that middle phase of, like, booked with one-on-one clients, you might say, well, I want a few more. But there's access to a whole different way of thinking that when you are completely booked, that you think differently than you had thought before. And what you get access to think in there is I only want my best clients. If I have two or three spaces left and I'm coaching for 10 or 15 or 20 hours a week, I do not want to fill those last two or three spots with any person but the most delightful for me to work with. And notice how that's really very subjective, right? There's no magical, there's no way you would know before you got on that call. Because they could look perfect on paper, and then you get on the call with them and you're like, no, I don't think so. Right? If it hasn't happened to you yet, it will. And so really, it's like, no, this call, sure, it's to see if we're like, it's like, I'm going to tell you the price. We're going to figure out. But it's really, it's for both of us to see if we want to work together, if this is a good fit, and that is just a very normal part of it. And it's like, it's not this big, scary, like, ooh, I got to be in sales mode. It's like, no, I'm actually kind of laid back about this because there's stuff I want to help them and there's things I want to help them, because I think about my own call and I really love how I take them through their business and how they think in it. And by the end of that call, they're aware of things that they weren't aware of before, but they also feel very heard in the issues that they brought and the things they specifically want to work on. And so it becomes very clear to them about the approach and, like, what we're going to work on and the things in their business and how they're connected. And so whether we both get to the end of that call and we want to work together or not, like, the rest of that time was valuable and it was helpful. And so I'm not thinking to myself, oh my gosh, this whole call is like a sales call and it's so stressful. It's like, It's like, no, I'm just thinking this is the call. We're going to see if we're a good fit. And I have this process that I take them through, and it helps me get to know their business and their needs and their wants, and if I'm a good fit to help them. And then they'll also make that decision on their end. And so circle back. Your listing a price is only for one-on-one coaching that you sell with a consult. So, okay, price is listed on the website. My gosh. And you are invoking them to think a thought when they look at that price listed on your website. And I was thinking to myself, what are some thoughts that they might think? And one of the thoughts they might think is, that seems reasonable. And then they feel maybe neutral. And I want you to think about what action might they take if they think the thought, that seems reasonable, and they feel neutral. And the reality is I don't think it's a very action-invoking thought, right? I don't think that they're gonna like jump into action to book a call with you. They might. And then they might also think, oh my gosh, that's the perfect price. I definitely want to work with her. And in that kind of thought, they're gonna feel eager and excited. And here's what's interesting is they like, depending on what else happens, if they get interrupted, if they like get like stick in that mode, they might book that call right then and there, right? That's exactly what they would need to think. Oh my gosh, this price is excellent. I can't wait to work with her. Like, I'm going to book this call right now, right? And that's around the line of what anybody needs to be thinking to book that call. They might also think, ooh, that's so much. And then they feel nervous or maybe a little panicky. And so while they're still thinking about working with you, and it's still on their mind, they're not taking action. They're not booking that call. They're not getting on that call, because once they get on that call, right, they're going to know for sure if they even want to work with you. You're going to know for sure if it's a good fit. You're going to see what they're why is this trading money worth it for them? But they're not going to book that call when they're just kind of neutral or like nervous and panicky thinking, oof, that's so much. And then there's a fourth thought that they might think, which is very similar to the last one, but it notice how different it is in the feeling. And it's, that's too much. So we went from that so much, feeling nervous and panicky, to thinking when they see that price, that's too much. And now they're probably just going to feel disconnected from working with you. Maybe they still like you, maybe they still follow you, but in their mind, they just decided, I can't work with that person. I'm not going to work with that person. That's not going to work. And so in all of these scenarios, there's only one type of thought that's going to get them to book a call, but there are other thoughts that are going to keep them from booking that call, even though they're your best client. They're your best client type. They're the type of person. Now, we could say, well, my best client type would always just immediately be thinking, oh, well, I want to work with her and it doesn't matter how much it costs. Maybe, but that's not leaving room for our humanness. It's not leaving room for our tenderness and fear around money. That's just so normal that we're built in around in our society, and that we don't always have the tools, and then we don't always use them. I think about that with my own self. Like, I have all these tools, and then sometimes I look at my money stuff and I'm like, ooh, I feel scared about that. Or I feel like tender and I'm like, oh, so interesting. That doesn't mean I like jump to do the work on it always, right? So it's like, leave room for their humanness, that they're going to sometimes be tender about money and they're going to be scared or nervous or uncertain. And that what I think about this and why this episode kind of tilts a little bit more towards not listing your price is that what I think about is that if I just don't know that I can get them to think that thought without like any thought I help them create listing the price is a thought that is more likely to tilt them away from me. And that I would rather them get on that call, and I would rather them like be uncomfortable maybe with like, oof, I actually don't have that money right now and I want to wait. And I mean, that's not going to feel fun because, you know, when we want things, we want things. But I trust that person to have that experience and be okay. Like, they're an adult. They can want something and choose not to buy it right now. They can want something and feel some deep motivation to figure it out, which is so cool and so fun and happens so often. And they can also have that experience where they get on the call and they like talk about it and they're like, actually, this isn't really for me. It's totally a thing. Or the other option is they get on the call and they hear the price and they're like, oh my gosh, yes. I already know where I'm going to get the money. I'm in. Right? I'll send it to you. So what I kind of was thinking after working with this client on this is like, I almost think that it's easier to help someone when we don't have to contend with our price creating a thought in them. And we get to leave room for their humanness and maybe any tenderness they have around pricing and uncertainty around how you're going to help them. Because, like, of course they're not going to know that before they get on the call. So here are some thoughts, though, that might be created when we don't list a price. Because even the absence, so listing a price creates thoughts. The absence of thoughts, fascinatingly enough, created completely different thoughts. And I was like, oh, this is cool. So here's what I came up with that they think when they don't see the price. Their brain has a different experience. So maybe they think, I want to work with her. So we assume they were thinking that before, but notice how it's like if they just read through, because they got to your website somehow, they clicked on that coach with me page somehow, right? So there's some type of thought in there that was there ahead of time. But I want you to imagine that absence of a price. They get to your sales page, they click on the work with you page, they read the words, and they read the words, and there's no price listed. So what they think is, I want to work with her. And that thought isn't contending with fear and uncertainty around money. And you might say, oh, but I bet they're thinking more thoughts. They are, because they're human. So what they also might be thinking, what might come up next after that feeling of like that thought, I want to work with her. And notice how they're going to feel when they think that. They're going to feel connected. They're going to feel desire. They're going to feel this like, it's like a connection and love to you and how you can help them and how you can help them solve the problems in their life that your stuff solves for. So then they might start to think, right? So now they're thinking, I want to work with her, and they're feeling all of those like good feelings. And then they might think the thought, like, I wonder how much it costs to work with her. And notice that thought in that kind of phrasing is still going to create some really soft feelings of like curiosity and openness and wonder, right? And then they might transition to a next thought, which might be, I can ask her, right? And that still feels very open and like, oh, I could ask, yeah. And that then could even go into this last thought that I thought of, which is, I can also just book a call. And I can see if I feel good on the call and if I want to work with her. I'm sure she's going to tell me the price on the call. And I just like to build this in because this is you trusting your clients. And it's you imagining them thinking, I trust myself. I trust myself to take care of me. I trust myself to make choices. I trust myself to have a conversation with a human, be told a price, and to like, you know, to know what to do in that situation. And so when I play this out, and I that's why I told you ahead of time, I think I'm a little bit more biased towards this one. I think that them not seeing a price has the potential to create softer thoughts that keep them in their spot of desire to work with you and just curiosity, like, let's just go find out. And like in their own sense of trusting themselves to be able to handle anything, right? They can feel disappointed if it's too much. They can feel decisive if it's not for right now. They can feel eager and excited if it's exactly what they want. And us trusting them to trust themselves to do that. And so some of you might be saying, oh, but Elizabeth, what about those people that get to your sales page and they say, they get all worked up and they say, I would never work with someone who didn't list their price. That's so unprofessional. And what I would say to you is that those are not your best client type. That's not the kind of person you want to work with. Isn't that so relieving? Because sometimes those are the people who like talk the loudest and they're like mean about coaching and they like always have something bad to say. And it's like, you don't want to work with those people. Those aren't your best client type. And maybe you just want to pretend that that person hires you. Maybe you had your price listed and maybe you just pretend all the ways that that same energy is going to come out in their coaching with you. And how you're going to feel and how that's going to cause you to kind of second guess yourself and feel icky and feel inadequate. And like, they're not your best person type. Your best person type might feel a little scared when they see that price. But when you don't list your price, in your own head, you're thinking, I have to tell people about this. Like, I want to tell people about this. And if that's not coming naturally, it's just because you haven't spent time loving the impact of what you do. Not necessarily your offer. I think sometimes we have to be careful with the words. Like, if we say the word niche, my brain actually does not know what that word means. So I have to translate for it because I'm like fluent in translating my brain. And I always have to translate it to, oh, niche just means, who do I help and what's my unique angle that helps them get what they want, right? That's all niches. And you have to hear the same thing with love your offer. Offer, your brain might be like stutter, stutter, stutter. But offer means the way that I help them get what they want. And that might mean you have a process. That might mean like whatever that is, but it's like you don't need any of it. It's just, when I come face to face with them, when we work together on what they want, how do I help them get what they want? What's possible when we do that stuff together? And the more, I'm not saying the more time, that sounds so vague and ambiguous, but it's like when you purposely give your brain space to loving your offer and prompting your brain to generate, this is what's possible with it. And this is why it's so valuable. And this is what's unique about it. And this is why I do this. And you jot it down on paper for 10 minutes, 5 minutes, the overflow of how you speak to your people and help them will be so different than if you just focus on, I need to create content and I need to talk to people and how do I get people to book a call? Like, it's going to come so much easier and with so much more flow from that intentional thought space. And I don't even remember how I got down that path, but wrapping it all up. I mean, you know, you can listen to episode 162. You can hear me talk about how each of them is just a little bit different. But when I think about us being in control and not complete control, but we have the ability to influence, because that's what marketing is, what our next best client thinks when they get to our sales page, when they get to our coaching page to book that free call to explore working with you, you can influence what they think in that moment. And the spot I'm in right now, I'm just thinking that those, when we don't list a price, we can help somebody to book that call and stay in this space of like curiosity and connection and desire. And we can trust them to make their decisions and we can assume them to be, you know, just normal humans who can take care of it. Take care of themselves, run their business, run their life, whatever, however you coach to. And that sometimes not listing your price is in service and honor to them. And there will always be people who don't understand or who disagree with that. And that when you see it as how you're serving your client by not listing your price, and when that actually feels true for you, like, no, I see how this is me serving them, even when you see some marketing and their whole angle was how you should list your price and you're a sleaze bag if you don't. And like, you're going to be able to just experience that. Oh, you know what? That's what their opinion is. That's what they're thinking right now. That's their current belief, right? Oh my gosh. How often do we change our minds about something? And we're like, whoops. So if we could have grace for them, this is just their current thing they think is a great idea, but I know why I don't list my price. This is why. This is part of how I serve my people. And the final thing I would say about this is, it is important for you to decide and have intentional thoughts about this, something like this, like, what's my offer? What's the length? What's the price? What are my thoughts about it? because you don't want to give this a ton of brain space. People, your next clients, they don't hire you because you have a magical offer, right? Like the pieces are somehow like, oh, the price is so good and the time frame is perfect and the way you communicate the offer is just like your process is just so on point. No, they hire you because of the time you spend thinking about them and the time you spend thinking about your offer and loving it and just wanting to help them and saying, you know what, there's going to be my free content and it's going to help them. And I'm just going to talk about how we can work together. And if they want to do that, then they will. It's like, it's that time you spend just loving your offer and what's possible for them and then going out and connecting with them about it. That's why they hire you. It's not that space you stay in where you're like, oh my gosh, should I change my price or should I list it or not list it? And so you're helping yourself spend time in more money-making places with your brain and less time in others. So those are going to be the things that you're just deciding, and you can always come back and change them. But it's like, I like to think the thought. I'm deciding about this now because this, like, thinking about your price, whether you list it or not, what the questions are on your consult, if it's worded perfectly on the website, none of those things are the, like, money generators. It's you loving your offer, getting specific with the value and impact of it, thinking of examples, thinking about how much fun it, like accessing what's fun and a way, like what would be a fun way for you to help them. That way you're staying in that, like, no, this is so much fun. I would help them for free. Oh, look, I am. And then they want more help. So that's today's episode. If you have been thinking about working with me, I have one-on-one coaching, and that is the way to work with me at this moment. So if you're not on my mailing list, come over to my website, ElizabethSalazarCoaching.com, and join the list. Make sure you get emails from me. I love that you listen to the podcast, and you can explore if you'd like to book a call and do some one-on-one coaching where we work on your business. That's it for this week. Bye.